guys are going to a bar. One orders a craft beer, one orders a straight whiskey, another guy has a Tom Collins. Bartender brings the drinks, he says, that'll be 30 cents. 30 cents? Yeah, how come? He said, well, I won the lottery a year ago. I always wanted to own a bar. And I was going to give away drinks free until I found out it was against the law. So I charge 10 cents for every drink that you get, regardless of what it is. Guy says, boy, that's amazing. Isn't that Ron Mason and Rick Conley and their hockey friends down at the end of the bar? Yeah, it is. He says, well, how come they don't have any drinks? He says, oh, they're waiting for happy hour when drinks are half price.
That still makes me laugh. That's classic. That's a classic Judd Heathcote. Right there. Nobody could deliver a punchline or an old-time joke like that, like Judd. He is gone. He passed last night in Spokane, the former MSU basketball, men's basketball coach for so many years, before Tom Izzo. And after Gus Kanakis, he was in between. And those were some of the classic Judd jokes. I know somebody who remembers a lot of these jokes from various luncheons and brunches and you name it in the land of Sparta is on the other end of our line right now, Regional Psychological Services, and that's Dr. John Braccio, Ph.D. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you, and that was a sad thing to hear that Judd, who was really, like you say, he could tell a joke and he could he'd deliver it just perfectly. And you'd get done and say, no, that was a Judd joke, you know, that type thing. So he will be greatly missed. He will be greatly remembered. And certainly we all have incidences, experiences that we've had. And I think your experience with him about being from Seattle and kind of walking away, that was just the way he was.
Oh, it was classic. And you hadn't been, you know, you hadn't been aired out properly until you got aired out by Judd, too, because, you know, what I said earlier, he could be prickly, depending on the time of day and the mood you caught him in. I'm not kidding. I mean, he would either be like, hey, well, oh yeah, you're on time. Let's get this thing going. Light this candle. Or he would be like, what are you doing? What do you think? Oh, boy, he could, you know, it just depended with Judd. And but, you know, he was the real deal, Doc. And
he was the real deal. You didn't have to try to analyze him. No. You didn't have to. No, he came right out. His feelings were right on his sleeve. He said what he was thinking, and he said it in a very loud way and sometimes an enormously humorous way.
Yeah,
one of a kind.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, people remember now. I called him the Thunks, and, you know, he'd pound on his own forehead with the inside of his wrist and palm. And I always wondered, you know, now, like, how much damage did he do? And then, you know, as he told me one time, he goes, what is there to damage anyway, Dave? I mean, what? There's nothing there to damage. Well, a person like you would probably disagree with that. But, you know, there aren't any. Okay, when I think of the old school coaches, and he was great friends with Bob Knight. They were rivals, but he was great friends. And I learned that in a short order. He was great friends with Gene Cady at Purdue. These are people who, and they knew him like the back of their hand. And I don't know if that exists anymore, even in the coaching fraternity, the same way, Doc. I mean, the way it did 25, 30 years ago.
Well, I think that's a good thing way to put it. I do think all of those are very unique, though, because Cady, Knight, and Judd were around a long time, same schools, had great success. There are a lot of, and they were very much alike in many ways. They all had those bigger-than-life personalities, and they all would tell you exactly what they were thinking. So there was no politics involved in what they said. I mean, if you asked Gene Cady or you asked Bobby Knight or Judd Heathcote what you thought, what they thought about something, they were going to tell you very directly, you know, right up front. I think one of the stories, too, and not even a story, it was the day that Judd bounced the ball right into his nose.
Classic.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, there's just things that he would say and do that were unique. Heath Conian, we'll call it, to give it a name. So he will be missed, but boy, will he be remembered, and certainly Tom will remember him, but I think all the rest of us, too, that had any time and experience with him or saw him or whatever will not never forget him. The likes of him do not come along very often.
I was at his last, you know, something a lot of Spartan fans can't say. And I was at his last, you know, I broadcasted the game the following year where they had the return game with all the All-Stars at Breslin. It was a lot of fun. Irvin Johnson played, and,
sure.
You know, yeah, you had the back nine, the front nine for Judd. Okay. But prior to that, his last game was in Tallahassee, and there weren't that many MSU fans at the game. They were kind of waiting for the next set of NCAA,
yes.
to, you know, they were playing Weber State.
I remember that game, sadly, very.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
Ruben Nemhard's hitting the three-point shots. Well, they didn't contend with it. But that moment in the locker room where normally State would be kind of guarded, but the door was open and the media, very, not a lot of media there, covering Michigan State that time or anybody else. It wasn't a flood, went in. And they, the realization that it was all over, Tom Izzo was in tears. Tom Izzo was just flat out in tears, knowing that, you know, now the mantle had been passed, but he didn't want it to happen like that. Well, you knew it was going to either happen like that or a national title. There was no other options. But you didn't think it happened on night one in Tallahassee, Florida, at the Leon County Convention Hall, which is where it happened. And that was it. And it was all over. And then he walked away. And he had 20-plus years after that, and, you know, with his wife, Bev, you know, just, you know, one of those guys that you – when, if you're lucky to cross paths with them, you know this, Doug. If you're lucky to cross paths with people in life that put an indelible memory, and it's a rich one, up, down, middle, then you've lived a charmed life. He was one of those.
Well, I would completely agree. I mean, I don't think you'll run into anybody that knew him, even just observed him, that didn't find him a very rarefied, a very unique person, and somebody that made everyone's lives better, really, if you consider the joy he brought with his coaching, with his ability to bring out a lot in young men, young persons, and his total, I guess, his dry, deadpan, I don't know, or dry humor, call it whatever you will, but he could make you absolutely laugh while he was just, had the straightest face and talking in a monotone, but that was a unique way he told jokes. I really can't think of anybody offhand who can really do that as well as he can, whether it's a person I know or a professional comedian. No, he just had a way to do it. His very unique.
One of the classics with him, too, and you just reminded me, because you're talking about kind of that deadpan, and I would call it a dry deadpan, which aided the delivery of all his jokes. Used to be able to call, there was a phone number here in Lansing when I came to town, and there was a number you could call, like calling the weather or dialing to find the time, like we used to do, and it was called Judd's Jokes, and it would charge you like a buck, and you'd get to hear jokes on the phone. I mean, that's what we're talking about. But I did a charity, I was asked to do a charity comedy stand-up routine at the old Connections Comedy Club at Lake Lansing Road and 127 North. I said, okay. And I worked on this, and I tried some material. I'm like, you know, I'm more of a spontaneous guy. I don't like to plan that stuff, so I'll probably go out there. I was nervous, but they were very accommodating, and they said, no, you'll be fine. Bring some of your friends and pad the house. And one of my bits, Doc, was a bit on Judd Heathcote. And doing a Judd thunk on my head and kind of doing my Judd voice. Oh, what's wrong with you guys? Steve Smith, you're the... Okay. But I didn't realize Judd was one of the judges. And I didn't find that out until I got to the club that night. I said, so who's judging? Oh, we have celebrity judges. Who are they? Well, one of them, Coach Heathcote. I'm like, I got no other material prepared. So I just got to go do it. And later he's like, did you think that was funny? I said, did you? He just stared at me. I go, I guess not. He goes, no, it made me laugh. God, help us, everyone. I mean, I thought I'm screwed over for the next X number of years because he's going to be ticked that I'm using his shtick in this comedy routine, making fun of him, which I, you know, what are you going to do, right?
Can I tell you, just hearing you now, you actually ought to do more of that because you actually do sound just like him. So I think that you...
Well, I heard that voice in all of its total quality at various times. It wasn't always in a good way. I mean, I got hammered on a few times pretty good. Probably deserved every bit of it. I can never remember, you know, saying, boy, oh boy, he yelled at me, and I just didn't deserve that. It was probably something. Same thing with George Perlis. You know, he could be the same way. George could be great, strong, or he could absolutely tear you up and down. And that was part of being in the media then, because it wasn't that huge a group, and they knew you personally, and it wasn't just a horde of people blogging and, you know, doing a quick YouTube video.
Yes.
It was a very different day and time. And I want to close. I want to give you the final word here, because we were going to talk today about the hurricane, and then I vamped it going another direction because of what occurred overnight. But I know you believe strongly in, Doc, the better angels of our nature and how we come together in times like this in our history. And I think that's true. And you see moments of this right now happening in Houston, Texas, too.
Well, I think it's just wonderful to see, we'll call them the good angels. You know, we've been seeing a lot of the bad angels lately. We saw them at Berkeley. We saw them at Charlottesville. We've seen them a lot of different places over the years. And what's wonderful is when you can see people, Americans, people in crisis, and people kind of doing a version of the American Dunkirk, where you've got people of all kinds coming in, helping. They're bringing in boats, churches are involved, the first responders there, local people helping each other, volunteers, governmental agencies at all levels. It's pretty heroic to watch all that's going on in a time of crisis. We aren't looking at people based on age, based on color, based on gender, based on ethnicity. We're looking at people in need and trying to be helpful. Those are the better angels. That's one of those group mentalities that each individual, if you want the positive aspect of coming together, that one can see. And it's a wonderful thing to see. John was living in Miami, my son John, during Katrina, and saw there too so many people helping each other, doing things during another catastrophe.
Absolutely.
So I think when these things occur, it's a time that you can get tears in your eyes. You can see people doing things that you might even say, I'm not sure I would have done that. But then again, in the time of crisis, you know, when the need comes, it can bring out the very, very best in people. So I think it's been wonderful. I look at it and I see police officers. I see Joe Blow, Mary Smith, whatever it might be, people you wouldn't even know that are going in and doing heroic acts and taking risks to themselves. But then when you see people walking in the water and you realize that there are snakes there and there could be crocodiles,
right.
There's a lot of danger. So
there is.
It's wonderful to see this outpouring of care and letting loose the good angels, if you will.
We are going to, in a moment here, we're going to get an update live from Houston, Doc, on that, and we'll do that as well. I agree with you, and I saw that after in my coverage there on in person with Katrina probably 12 years ago now. Hard to believe, 12 years ago.
Hard to believe.
Exactly. Time flies, as it does here with our segment, topically oriented today with the Doc, the good Doc, Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com. Always good to speak with you, my friend.
Well, and Judd, rest in peace. We all love
Absolutely.
You and we miss you.
1320, morning wake up, WILS.